In this session, it's an abbreviated session. It's not as long, so we need to move quickly. And I just want to say we may not need to cover everything on the page. Some interesting things have developed in our discussion. First of all, I'd like to just turn to the text where these four phrases are. It's 1 Timothy chapter 2, and just want to make one point and then get into the text in Ephesians 6. I see there's something very valuable in these two passages. And that would align with the rest of the prayer. Well, not so much the rest of the prayer, but the last two expressions in the Lord's teaching: lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. But just wanted to sort of turn our attention to the context in which these four phrases were used. And that's 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. The context that we have this expression to pray with all supplication, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving was an exhortation Paul gave to Timothy as Timothy would be helping in the context of the assembly to teach, to establish how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God. So prayer is a very vital key component of this experience of the assembly. But I thought it was interesting that what Paul is exhorting or encouraging us to is to enter into a little bit more beyond just our need and to see that God has a plan and a purpose, and he invites us to be along and to join in to that. What is it? To pray for all men. You know, we talked about praying for ourselves and our need. We talked about praying for one another. Now this broadens up the scope because God is still at work in our time, and he's looking for us to be alongside, keeping pace with what he's doing. And so he invites us to pray for all men. To pray for those in authority, governments and authorities. Why? Because all authorities, right, are appointed by God, Romans 13. And so we have this perspective with regards to life and how we're living that we begin to see things from a different perspective. We always start first that God is sovereign and in control of all situations, and he brings us and asks us to be a part of that by engaging in this communication, this dialogue in relation to how his people are able to get along in this world during this time while we await the return of the Lord Jesus. It's a wonderful invitation. It's an invitation that helps us rise beyond simply the focus of our need to realizing that we can partner in the interest that God has, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, the promotion. In another place, Paul says, pray for me that I might have boldness to preach the glad tidings. He invites us in this matter of prayer to align ourselves with what God is doing presently, and that we can have fellowship in that and in prayer. So that's a thought that I just wanted to give us in the background with regards to where that these four phrases were located in one verse. Last month in Philadelphia, for those of us who had the privilege of being there, we had the thought of pulling down strongholds, and I just thought it might be a great follow-on to connect what we had that last month with this matter of prayer. We talked a little bit that last month about the armor that God gives us in preparation for conflict, for battle. But at the end of that, and we can turn to it in Ephesians chapter 6. And so we have taken each piece of the armor, starting with verse 14. And I'll just read it for context. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And here's the thought: and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. One of the things that we have to realize and understand is, and we probably know this sort of mentally, but we don't think about it, we are in a hostile world. We're in a hostile environment. The enemy is at work to rob us of the enjoyment of the wonderful grace of God that Ephesians brings out. And so we have this provision by God in the armor to protect ourselves, to be prepared to stand against the onslaught of the enemy. And I wanted to connect, and you know, the brethren can elaborate on this, I wanted to connect the fact that the last element in that armor that's mentioned is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we touched on it a little bit, you know, in previous sessions. And then he says, praying with all supplication and prayers. The connection between the word of God and prayer, how the two necessarily have to go together. We touched on it a little bit. I think it's important to just reemphasize it a little bit more. But if we realize that we are targets, we have targets on our back, targets on our chest, we are targeted by the enemy to make us inert and ineffective for the interests of Christ and the advancement of his and the magnification of his name. We talked about it, hallowed be his name. We have here that coupled with the armor is this matter of prayer. And I wanted to connect the two, the word of God and praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, as we recognize we're in a conflict, we're in a place where we need this resource in order to withstand the assault of the enemy. It was mentioned earlier about the will of God, and the way that we are aware of the will of God is by the word of God. And so think of this whole thing that we've been sharing and spending time today talking about, that prayer is really communion. It's the fact that God invites us. The way has been made. Grace has provided for us to have access. The Holy Spirit has cleared the way. The Lord Jesus Christ's work has made it possible to draw near. We know God now as our Father. We can have communion, but communion is not one way. How often we want to get God's mind, we want to know what we ought to do, and we're praying, talking to God, asking, and sometimes even demanding, except to fail to sit quietly and hear what he has to say to us through the word. Communion is two-way. I can't just, and I love the illustration John gave, is that, you know, we treat God in that way sometimes, where we just want, gimme. And we fail to realize it's a communion. And he wants us to appreciate his word. And in order to face the enemy, but in general, in order to really appreciate the privilege of prayer, we must have an appreciation of the word of God, for therein is the will of God, and therein the Spirit of God is going to direct us so that we can pray in the Spirit in accordance with His will, and in this fulfillment or this expression of communion.